Robinson, welcome back to the United States of America, and welcome listeners back to the United States of Cool Games, Inc. We're a sovereign nation. No laws apply here. This is international waters, technically.
Duty free.
Hold on one second. Just drinking a tall tumbler of Cristal, and this Cristal is... Do you remember the drink Orbitz that was briefly popular in the 1990s?
It had the balls in it, right?
It had basically little tiny tapioca balls in it way before that was cool, but it was floating around in some nasty-ass, clearly Canadian. I'm basically doing that with Cristal with some diamonds in it because... Mm. Nick Robinson, great news. I don't know if you're aware because you literally just walked off a plane, sat down, and started recording. We are, the two of us, billionaires?
Ooh. This is one of those weird sort of situations. I know sometimes this comes up in like criminal defense where you just kind of black out and don't remember what you did. But usually when that happens, it's because something bad happens.
No, this is a very good. This is a good thing.
I managed to not listen to the most recent episode of Cool Games Inc. because you took over posting duties for it. Normally, I'll listen to at least half of it before I upload it. And, like, write all the meta, like, the post data or whatever. But, like, this time, not only do I not remember being there, but I didn't have to listen to it a second time. So that episode is just a big old question mark to me.
Yeah, I would actually posit that you didn't listen to it a first time when we were recording it.
You're right. I was not present for any stage in the process. It's like a ghost version of me took care of that app.
We rode that big old money dragon's back directly into this nouveau riche lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And that dragon was named King Kong Bing Bong.
Oh, okay. That does ring a bell a little bit.
And I have to be honest, as a creator of video games now, of videoed games, I am as surprised as anybody that this was the one that got us over.
Right. You never know. Well, I think the because Bing Bong being the character from Inside Head, sorry, Inside Out. I've been in Japan for 2 weeks, and the movie is called Inside Head, and that's not and that's true. And also, they fucking love Pixar so much in Japan, Griffin.
Well, yeah.
Just Mike Wazowski's as far as the you literally, if you look in any direction in Harajuku. If you point your eyes any which way, there is at least three Mike Wazowskis within your field of vision at all times. And so there's just a lot of Inside Head merch. I saw one piece of merch that actually called it Inside Out, which was very confusing for me. Because I don't know if you know, I got fully immersed in the culture being there. I was there for 2+ weeks. I was there for, I think, 15, 16 days or something. And it's hard to come back. It's hard to be somewhere.
It's hard to come back. Were you tempted to just buy a house somewhere out in the countryside?
A little. Our sleeping quarters were less than ideal.
If they could just nail that down. Mm-hmm. It's like everything I did over there was so great, but the beds were so bogus. And
yeah,
it's like you got the toilet game at 100%. And for me, the two most important objects in my life is toilet, A+, 100%, nailed it, perfected. It's the aesthetic ideal of a toilet you got going on over there.
I mean, mathematically, if you think about it, you spend 8 hours of every day in a bed and 8 hours of every day on a toilet. Those are the two most important parts of the two most important objects you own.
And they got the bed 8 hours. It's just not. It's not great.
And I think the biggest problem from my perspective of the bed in our Airbnb that we rented was that there wasn't one. There was no bed.
It was just like a mat on the floor?
It was two couches that you could fold them out into beds, but they didn't really fold out so much as they flattened out, and it was just a unbelievably uncomfortable sleeping situation. There was like two throw pillows in there. It was not very good.
When I was in Kyoto, I was staying in an Airbnb there that had a pretty bad bed situation. I just gave up and started sleeping on the toilet. More comfortable, more amenities, more convenience.
Heated.
It literally played soothing ocean noises to disguise the plops.
Yes. That no joke, that is a real... why that feature exists.
No, I know. Why the fuck else would it exist? I'll tell you why the fuck else it exists. To provide some white noise to lull me to sleep at night. When I fell asleep on a Japanese toilet.
Did you fall asleep on a Japanese toilet, though, for real?
And I turned the bidet feature on, and that, weirdly enough, also kind of lulled me to sleep.
But that makes sense.
When I woke up in the morning, I was all swollen up.
Mm. Well, one of the cool... I mean,
I was full of water. The bidet pumped me full of water while I was asleep, and I got really big.
I was actually in town during the big sort of bidet convention that happens.
Is this a lie?
In Shibuya every year. No, it was true. And they actually have a feature that I think you'd really appreciate, which is a sort of bidet alarm, so that if you fall asleep on the toilet right at 7:55 a.m., no beeps. So no one else has to wake up, but it just gives you a little psst. And then you can actually set it to increase... in temperature, 10 degrees every 5 minutes you snooze.
See, that's a bad situation.
You're playing a dangerous game.
I snooze it a few times. If I snooze it too much, I'm gonna soup my goose up again, and I can't have that.
Not again.
I can't have that again. I've got so little healthy goose left. I can't keep souping it.
Can I tell you a little peek behind the curtain for Cool Games Inc. listeners that they might enjoy? Is I've got on the left half of my monitor, I've got TweetDeck open, and on the right half of my monitor, I've got Audacity open, and then behind both of them is Skype, and just barely peeking out, just tiny.
The image that you sent me a couple weeks ago is actually too grody to even describe on the podcast.
Actually, this is not what I'm talking. I'm actually just seeing a close up of Austin Powers' teeth.
Oh, I see.
Like just his grinning mouth and only his mouth.
Yeah,
He's got kind of, it's a little bit ajar. Like he keeps it open.
Keep forgetting to change that. Took a business meeting over Skype the other day.
Did you?
Oops, goofed it up.
But also you came out the other end of that still having not changed it. And I'm starting to wonder, a lot of us, Griffin, a lot of the people close to you are starting to wonder if maybe you don't enjoy being Austin Powers more than you enjoy being Griffin.
I mean, he's an international man of mystery.
Mm-hmm.
He's got plenty of mojo, baby. Yeah. And that is his bag.
That is.
Let's do some things.
Okay. We got a lot of good submissions. We do find, I don't know if this was true last time we recorded, but we locked down twitter.com/coolgamesinc. So
no, we talked about how we fucking stole it from people who were just like breaking their backs trying to make the greatest spider-based
Spider
Warrior.
It's sad. These spider-based indies getting crushed by Polygon.
We are absolutely going to find whoever ran that, and we're going to definitely get them on the show.
I have this whole list in my head of, like, dream guests, and that's pretty close to the top. We have, twitter.com/schoolgamesinc. We've got it now. If you want to send your submissions there instead of to us, that would make our lives a little bit easier. Here's one that I really like from Jeremy Frankly on Twitter, who says, a sandbox game where you have one night to make $1 million.
So, like, what are we talking, like 10 p.m. to 6 a.m.?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. The night, well, let's say the
or
night
say
begins
sun,
at 9.
Sun, sunset to sunrise, and
yes.
Then every, is it real time?
I think, well, yeah, why not? Yeah, sure.
And by which I mean, like, when you start playing the game, no matter when you start playing it, your playthrough can last, what do you get, like eight, 9 hours of darkness at night?
Yeah. I'm thinking like a game of Civ's level of time commitment per playthrough.
Two questions.
Mm-hmm.
First, is it multiplayer? Is it online? Are there other people also on their fucking grind? Because if that's true, then, like, I think you're going to be in trouble. If you run up against, like, if you run up against Kevin Hart, and that dude's, like, on his grind, like, 24-7, you're going to lose any opportunities you could potentially have to Kevin Hart, who's just going to, like, you'll look over and he's already got, like, all the jobs.
I've already said this, but I think I said this on episode, like, 2 or 3, but I've always felt like every dollar Kevin Hart makes is a dollar I could have made. It's out of my pocket, and it's grown a really deep resentment of him in me.
You're not even talking about the film industry. Like, you'll be like, I'm going to write this opinion piece on Polygon about Japanese toilet games, and I'll be like, hey, you'll get a ping from Ben, and Ben's like, we're really excited we got a new contributor. It's Kevin Hart, and he's writing about Japanese toilet games. It's
right.
Like, holy shit.
It's weird. It's uncanny. It feels targeted.
But
I know
he has, like, but he has, like,
targeted.
He has really great salient points. Like, he fucking knows his stuff.
It's not that he writes the same things as me. It's that he writes them better.
Right. Way, way better. Second question. What if this game, what if you, like, played it on Steam or whatever and it had to, like, authenticate because it has an online multiplayer component? What if you could only play it at night?
I like that. So it's real time, both in terms of the passage of time, but also, like, it's got to be.
There's a real world clock element to it.
I don't mind that. I think another thing we got to figure out is one question that I have for you would be, like, what is your starting amount of money? that you have? What's your seed?
Maybe
money?
We Oregon Trail this shit, and you can be the banker and start with whatever, 10,000. Does it have to be dollars? Can we do like Zinni or bells?
I'm still in the, because I'm still getting used to America, I'm having to convert everything from dollars into yen back into dollars.
What was the trade? Was it favorable?
I would pull out like, at the beginning of my trip, I went to an ATM and I pulled out 20,000 yen. And then I got a notification on my phone saying like, you just withdrew $185.
Jeez, so that's real good.
Some bonus bucks in there.
I think you can start out with more money, but fewer skills.
Hmm.
So maybe you start out and you are just like an up and coming aspiring pop idol, right? And you got to work to get your thing going, but you got so many skills, but you don't have any money. So you got to really get out there and like make hustle. It big in one night.
In one night. Now that's something that could only really be possible today. I feel like you could put a lot of your time and energy in the early game trying to make a viral video pop off for you.
That's what happened with Bebo.
Mm-hmm. That's how Biebs did it, and that's how I think you could do it in this game. You could also like maybe diversify, maybe make some risky stock investments, and produce your viral video. But every you spend in the market,
Fuck that. I'm all Bebo all the time. So it sounds like the Bebo route is going to be the fastest and easiest route. But then the game's going to kind of turn into an Usher hunting simulator.
Yeah, you got to find your Usher senpai.
The Usher. You have to hunt down Usher and be like, I'm the new Bebo, and then he grants you your wish, and you win the game for that night, and nobody else wins.
The funny thing about Usher is that he'll grant you your wish, but he does it in that genie-like way where there's a real dark side to the twist, as we've seen multiple times throughout Bebo's career. It comes at a high price.
But then you say, Usher, it's me, Bebo. I don't want you to use your wish to make me famous. It's me, your boy Bebo. I'm on your side. I want you. I'm using this wish to set you free. And then he's encircled in a cloud of golden sand, and he grows in size by a factor of 10. And then he says, Bebo, you've done it. I've become a djinn. And then he disappears into the clouds. And then nobody else can play the game anymore because you've set Usher free from this world.
Right. I kind of like the idea of after that happens, a screen just pops up and says, you win on your screen. And everyone else's screen, it says, you lose. And then the game can never be played again.
God, I hope everybody's listening to this and seeing Kazam in some way. Do you want another one? Because I got a bunch.
Yeah, what do you got?
I got this one from Patrick Woodruff, who said, stop Willem Dafoe from ruining your parents' anniversary.
Okay. Now, I know that video games are supposed to be power fantasies, and they're supposed to make you feel like you have a lot of strength and a lot of times. Like, that's a very common genre for a video game.
Yeah.
But there's got to be limits and boundaries. And how do you stop Willem Dafoe from doing anything?
There's nothing you can do.
Stop Mr. Will Dafoe. It's like no one can stop Mr. Domino.
No one can stop Mr. Will Dafoe. Man, fuck, you've just gotten that theme song stuck in my head for another 13 years.
back at it again.
Bill Dafoe is Bell Biv Dafoe is gonna like he's gonna fuck up your parents' anniversary, and there's nothing you can do about that. Like, you're at a fancy dinner and like Willem Dafoe just comes and sits at the table with them. He doesn't need to say or do
that's
anything.
That's the best thing about Willem Dafoe and his fucking character actor ass wrinkly old face. He could like just bump into your parents on their way into the restaurant and just say, have fun, and that's it. And it would ruin their anniversary, not just that year, but for the consecutive four.
I want to get out in front of this hate wave that you just barfed up and say, I love William Dafoe.
I love
him so much that I call him his real name, which is William Dafoe. I don't bastardize it in my Americanized, anglicized tongue. It's a beautiful name, William Dafoe.
William. I don't think it's hating William Dafoe to acknowledge that he is just an inherently terrifying thing that walks this earth.
He's played some scary roles. That's for certain.
He scared the shit out of me as the Green Goblin.
Yeah, for sure. That was not supposed to be a spooky movie, but good lord, slap an R rating on that Spider-Man.
There's some fucking jump scares in those early Green Goblin scenes. They'll just That's what
just
I love
like about- William Dafoe walks into the screen. He just walks into the camera's view,
a jump scare. Slowly and calmly, trying almost as if he's trying really hard not to scare anybody. But it's impossible not to just be like, oh shit, fuck.
Yeah, there. He goes to like Peter Parker's school science fair, and this is like the introduction of his character, and he's just like Peter, and it's like no.
Griffin, you're a bespectacled man, right?
That is for certain.
Have you ever tried contact lenses?
No.
Okay, well,
I got a good reason for that.
Why is that?
Eyes are meant to be seen and looked through, but never touched.
I think that's in the Bible, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, as one of the contact-wearing heathens who's recently-ish come into the contacts world.
How is it treating you?
I'm loving it. I am doing something that I don't know is medically advisable. Like the closest I could get to a thumbs up on this from my eye doctor was like, yeah, I guess you could do that, which is I don't really wear contacts so much as I wear contact. Like
You got one goofy eye.
Yeah. Well, I got one goofy and one regular, and, appropriately, my left eye is the goofy eye.
I got a goofy left eye too.
Ooh.
Together we could make, well, it would still be half a, I don't think you could switch them out like that.
Just one man who can see well.
One can see good, yeah.
But, yeah, one's nearsighted, one's farsighted. Anyways, I wear a single contact. And one thing that I really love, Griffin, that I recommend you try is get a couple trial pairs of contacts, pop one in, then pick up your glasses. And what you're able to do as a man with poor vision that no one else can do, only we can do this, is you can recreate that scene in Spider-Man when he wakes up the day after he gets bit by the spider and he puts on his glasses and everything's all blurry and then he takes them off and can see perfectly.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
It's very fun to do. So I recommend you do that. And I did, you might be asking, Nick, why did you spend almost 2 minutes of our podcast telling that story? It wasn't funny. It was just kind of a thing you did once.
No, I thought it was good. It's got me envisioning just sort of what your face would be like. And like, let me know if you, because I think this goof might cost some money, and I don't think it would be worth it for you, but I think it would be worth it for me if we had like a contract where you couldn't take it out and you had to wear it like everywhere you went. But I want you to wear a color filled contact lens so that you have like one, what color are your eyes, like brown
something? I think that's right.
One brown, one blue, like fucking Yuna Final Fantasy X shit, like,
yeah,
you know, that's what I want, like a husky.
So we're still getting a lot of good photo submissions from listeners, and this one comes in from Kami Henderson. It is a photograph of, I can't tell what, maybe it's a hat? I think it's a hat. And it says, old dude made of achy breaky parts. And it's got kind of a funny, like a silly, almost Jokerman style font.
Okay. Hey, let me hit you with this.
Uh-huh.
A platformer where you play as an old man. Oof.
Mm-hmm.
And you can like jump up on the platforms and stuff. You're climbing around trying to collect, I don't know, fucking coins. It's not important. What is important is just the slightest drop. And you're done. Like the slightest. Maybe the character's like really agile, but if you go too wild with them, if you go too wild hog, you're just done.
It's like a game that's all about fall damage, basically, is what you're
saying.
Yeah,
it's a game about mitigating fall damage by like very, very, very slowly climbing down from the most shallow platforms.
Right. I'm thinking like, you know, have you ever spawned an eggplant in Spelunky?
Yes.
You know how if it touches like anything, if
it
you
just
do anything
explodes.
But set it, that's what it'll play. I think Spelunky is a good point of reference for a lot of this. Like,
yeah, yeah.
If you took Spelunky and ramped the fall damage all the way up to like two blocks.
A million. Yeah.
A million. And then you instantly die. Also, when you climb down a ledge in Spelunky, it's a little too digital. It's not analog enough. It's just like a binary, like, whoop, I'm down on the ledge now. I want a platformer where that process is like, and you're just like, you have to very gently maybe tilt the stick or depress one of the analog triggers to throttle your downward climb. And if you go too fast, oops.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm imagining kind of a Lester the Unlikely situation. And I think I've talked about this game and you acted like I was making shit up. This is a real game made by Visual Concepts in the 90s for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Mm-hmm. And you just play as a nerdy boy named Lester, and when the game starts out, you can't fucking do anything. Like, you see a scorpion, you can't even jump over it. You just, like, turn around and run away as fast as you possibly can, and you lose control of the character.
It sounds like a very realistic game.
Very realistic game. And then you climb over shit, and you climb down from shit, and it takes, like, there's 100,000 frames of animation to, like, climb over a little rock. But I'm imagining this, but an old man who'll die.
And I also think, like, you and I have obviously risked a lot on staking unique IPs in the game industry, and it hasn't always paid off. And I've noticed the one time we did do well, it seems, was the time that we put Bing Bong on the cover.
Okay.
And I'm not saying we do Bing Bong again, but I am saying, what if we just make a game called Old Mario? Where
okay. Oh, see, I thought you were going to go with the fucking
Olaf?
The old dude from Up.
Oh.
And we would just call, we'd call that game, like, Down, but, like, super gently.
Right.
And maybe we have co-op support so you can play as the little boy, and the little boy's like, come on, just these... Come on, down these stairs. You know, like, you go to Red Lobster with your grandma because it's her birthday, yeah. And it's just like, it takes forever to get back to the car.
It does. I watched... Up was one of the movies I rewatched on my flight to Shanghai. I had a big old layover. I can't
fucking believe you did. If you've never flown to Japan before, your options are pay like $1,500 and right. Then like connect in San Francisco or Seattle, and then you land in the Tokyo airport. Your other option is pay like $700 and then you connect in Shanghai, usually some major Chinese airport,
yeah.
And you have a layover there that's about a day and a half. And yeah. It's like, what you it's an interesting value prospect. I'd love to put a poll out, see some polling on it, because it's like, how much do you value a day of your life? Because it's as literally as close to losing a day as you possibly can do.
Totally. And it's also, well, here's the thing. The value proposition was actually very extreme in our case, because our flight was exactly what you're describing. It was like 18-hour Shanghai layover. But the tickets round trip were $400.
Go fuck yourself.
Like, it was $400, and which was so great. Like, so awesome to get to go to Tokyo for $400. Except that when we got to Shanghai, like, I remember we were thinking we were going to be able to just post up in the Shanghai airport and just chill for 16 hours, which was very ambitious. So my girlfriend and I, literally within like 30 minutes of getting to the Shanghai airport, we were like, we need to go get a hotel right now. We can't fucking do this. We can't live this way. And when you factor that in, it kind of shaves more than all of the savings off of the price. But yeah, that's one of those lessons we had to learn the hard way. Anyways, I watched Up on that plane, and my memory of Up was, for some reason, my memory was two things. One, beginning is sad. Two, that kid kind of sucks. That kid in it.
Interesting.
Just a little piece of, he's just a little piece of shit.
Okay, I just want to go ahead and just point.
Well, that was my memory.
Just point your tweets right at Nick, because I disagree wholeheartedly.
That was my memory of Up, at least, though. And so I actually went back and rewatched it, and it turns out, fuck that kid. He's fucking annoying and he's fucking terrible. And I'm realizing that there's one of those in every Pixar movie. There's Olaf in Frozen. There's Bing Bong.
Boy,
in...
you really hate Olaf too. You're always talking about how much you hate that snowman.
Olaf is the fucking Mike Wazowski of Frozen.
Wait, what the fuck? Mike Wazowski is the lead in Monsters, Inc.
Have you ever seen...
Wait, let me ask you, Dora, why or in?
I mean, if there is an Olaf of Finding Nemo, it's probably Dora, right?
Okay, Toy Story.
Oh, man.
You can't say Buzz or Woody.
No, it's not Buzz or Woody, but it's one of the dumb comic relief characters. It's like... It's always like a dumb, goofy, little dumb guy whose whole existence is kind of to appeal to like the 1-year-old baby who's watching it, and then it makes a silly noise.
Want an adult Pixar feature?
I do, and I mean adult with capital A. Here's a submission that comes in from Nick Robinson, and it's, what about an adult?
A fucking adult. What about that food? Hey, dude, what about that food fight movie from Seth Rogen where the food is like, one of them is like a wiener and there's like a bunch of jokes about dicks in it?
Yeah.
I'm going to get fucking blazed out of my gourd and go see that shit with my buds, and I'm going to love every second of it.
I'm going to get weeded out and I'm going to go see wiener party.
I'm going to token choke, and then I'm going to just fucking laugh my nuts off.
Ooh. Did you know that in that movie, this is crazy, did you know that in that movie, they the little guys in it, they do cuss words?
How about this one from Neck Balethorn on Twitter, who says, and this one's kind of unconventional, but, don't look now, but Kissy Pete just walked in. Shit, he sees us.
Oh, man. It's Kissy Pete. I'm immediately getting like kind of a T-Rex vibe from him, where it's if you lock eyes with him or move too much even.
Here he comes.
Yeah.
Ooh. Kissy Pete is a kissing demon, and I'm imagining like the there's that hot genre on Steam right now, which is the hiding under tables simulator genre of like the Chinese Room games, the Amnesia, Dark Descent, and Machine for Pigs. And then what was the one that was like, you're in a robot's dream? What was it? Soma.
Right.
I can't get into those games ever because it's just like, man, there's a guy, you better run. I'm imagining that, but with just Kissy Pete, and maybe we flesh out who that is.
Mm-hmm. I think that, because the one thing that those games have in spades is terror and tension. Like, they've nailed that, but what they don't...
I disagree that that's true, because it's the same fucking, like, there's a monster, you better go hide under a desk. And once you realize that, like, I'll just, like, run right up to the thing. And it's like, ah, I'm a ghoul. It's like, I know, because I've seen, like, there's been so many ghouls.
But what there hasn't been is a guy who will just go up to you and give you a little...
I see the monster... I see the monsters in those games, and I don't think, like, oh, man, that thing's going to kill me. I think, like, well, fuck, like, there's a thing I have to go hide from, and it's going to take me, like, 5 minutes.
Right.
It's a walking... To, like, it's going like to walk up, and is it going to look under the table? If yes, then it's going to take 5 more minutes. But if no, it's just going to take the first 5 minutes, and then he's going to walk by, and then I could just, like, run past
it. It's kind of like if the words game over had legs and were kind of chasing you through a haunted house.
Well, no, and to even, like, abstract it even more, it's just like if the words 5 minutes of hiding under a table.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's, I can't get into those games because it's just like, this is going to take me 5 minutes. But
so
maybe
how
I'd get
how
more. Maybe
that?
I'd get a gun? A gun?
A gun.
So yeah, what's up now, Kissy Pete?
Right. You shoot Kissy Pete.
I'm just saying, maybe you don't start with it. Yeah, you got to start with a gun because I don't want to hide under any tables. Mm-hmm. I realize that I'm talking about removing all the tension from these games, but it's not tense. It's just like, I see the thing for what it is, which is life minutes being drained away, and then I have a gun that can free those minutes back up.
I guess I can't disagree with you. I guess I'm worried, though, that... I mean, the one tough thing about game design is, like, I hear designers... I actually, on my flight, I read the whole Spelunky book by Derek Yu, which is fucking awesome. You should super, super, super
read it. Yeah, I really want to read it.
You would love it. One thing that he talks about is, like, how they put just as much time and care and love into the hell section of Spelunky, which, like, 1% of players will ever see, that they did into the opening world of Spelunky, which every player will see.
Yeah.
And so you're describing a situation, because I think this game is obviously mostly, it's not really about the player character. I think it's about Kissy Pete and who he is and why he is the way he is. And I think by giving the player the option to just shoot him to death at the beginning of the game, we're letting the player kind of cut themselves off from that story very early on and just kind of waltz through the rest of the game.
Right.
And on the one hand, it can be frustrating as a designer because there's all this story that's just there is going to go unseen. But on the other hand, I think it's kind of cool, right?
You're giving the player it's that Undertale shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, like, yeah, you can kill this guy because that's what you've done in every fucking video game. That's what your dumb ape brain is going to tell you to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, there's a whole world of friendship and opportunity. Friendship
so
opportunity.
Is the game about exploring? Because, like, the weird thing about video games sometimes is that the only verb they give you is, like, the only way to interact with the world around you is usually
shoot.
Violence, like shoot, right?
Yeah.
So is this going to be a game about you getting to that crucial moment where Kissy Pete is right in your face, eyes closed, lips pursed?
Yeah.
And you're trying so hard to figure out which key on your keyboard won't just shoot him. Like, you're trying to figure, is it K? No, that's kill.
No,
you thought
that's
it was
kill.
Kiss. That'll kill
it,
Kissy Pete.
Is it L?
For love?
No, that's load and shoot gun. Damn it.
Load and shoot gun.
Yeah, I'm imagining, so maybe we got kind of like, you remember the tutorial of Shadows of Mordor?
Mm-hmm.
Where you learn how to stealth
kill. Yeah, press
kill
X to kiss your wife.
By kissing your wife. Maybe we got something like that going. I don't know.
Well, maybe we do the inverse of that, where the tutorial is teaching you how to shoot a bunch of Kissy Petes, and then when the game begins, the only option is to kiss him back.
I love this. Mm. It's like muscle confusion.
Turn it on its head.
I got this one from Taylor Robin, Corn Hime, frequent contributor. Thank you, Taylor. It says, a visual novel where you're a teen witch and president of the United States.
Oh, I love the name.
Hocus Pocus.
It's such a good punchline.
It's fucking very good.
It's very good. Hocus Pocus. I mean, is this an idea or is this a great name?
The only way to figure that out is to crack this fucking pistachio
open first.
See if that nut inside is green or if it's brown
and
crusty.
You gotta treat every nut like it's loaded.
I think this might be a loaded nut. I think a visual novel just as a concept is kind of hard for us to expand upon.
Sure.
Because I haven't played a visual novel that I found, like, engaging since Virtue's Last Reward. Which, can I just do, a 30-second plug here and say, sure. Don't play Nine Doors, Nine Persons, Nine Deaths, whatever, 999. Don't play it. Just, like, read about it online and then go play Virtue's Last Reward. It's, like, I think you can buy it on Vita. It's, like, perpetually on sale for $2.50.
Yeah.
And it's amazing and the best visual novel ever. And then that fucking Zero Time Dilemma game mm-hmm. is coming out.
Dude, I played that when I was in Tokyo.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I rolled up on Uchikoshi-san. They whipped out that Vita dev kit. I got to play a little bit of that game.
Ooh, I'm so excited. Virtue's Last Reward is one of my favorite games ever. Go play it. It's the sequel to 999, which I think is a not good game. Virtue's Last Reward has the coolest storytelling mechanic in it, probably.
Should I, not to turn this into a video game podcast on accident, but should I play I've tried to play 999 three times now. I played the 3DS version for a few hours until it made me motion sick on the bus and I gave up. And then there's also this iOS version of it where they took all the puzzles out and they just call it a novel.
That's the way to do it. Anything that gets you through 999 as fast as possible. Because the thing about these games is that they have multiple endings, and the multiple endings, it's not just the multiple endings are the thing. And that's especially true of Virtue's Last Reward. The way that Virtue's Last Reward handles multiple endings is the coolest fucking thing ever.
Yeah.
999 has multiple endings, but it doesn't have a good way for you to see them aside from doing the whole thing again, and it's insufferable.
Right.
So just reading it is the thing to do. But Virtue's Last Reward fucking rules school.
I can't wait for you to fucking play Zero Time Dilemma. There's some shit in the beginning of that game that you're gonna...
I can't wait, dude. Ooh, have you played Virtue's Last Reward?
No, not yet.
It's absolutely the best. Get it and play it.
I'll do that.
Okay, anyway, how can we enhance the visual novel experience? Obviously, being a teen witch and president of the United States, there's a lot of storytelling opportunities there.
Right.
And I think that shit writes itself, right? Your vice president is your frog familiar. Okay, cool. You know what I mean? We're good to go. Well, maybe you can date the secretary of state. We call him the secretary of date. And that's just
it's not a bad idea
bing,
at all.
Bing, boom.
Let's think about the things that are part of being president and what a president has to do as part of their life. And which of those would be the most fun? If we're going to pick one thing to be a gameplay element in this game, if we're going to pick one thing to take from the president's life and turn it into the interactive part of this game, what would it be? What do you think is the most fun thing? What's the hook? What's the spin on this?
I can't think of anything fun about being the president of the United States of America in this day and age.
I think
even on the fun president days, the egg roll and the turkey pardon, I think you see that and you're like, hey, we're all having some fun here. But I'm going to go ahead and pardon Mr. Cluckles. And somebody screams from the audience that you're a plant, a terrorist plant or something, a splinter
right.
cell that's just waiting to be activated. You know what I mean? You can't have fun out there.
You get in trouble for having fun, actually.
You get in trouble for having fun. We're having problems out here, and you're not doing anything about it. You're just talking to turkeys. Yeah, I know. This is, my one fucking day. This is, the one fucking day where I get to just, let loose.
On a
but
turkey.
No, you're right. I'll keep... Okay, then, poverty, I'm gonna fix it. You can't. It's too much power in the office. Well, then, fuck, can I go back to the turkey thing? No, help me. Okay, here's a bill. I'm going to put out a law, and I'm going to give everybody $100. You can't do that. Too much power.
How hard do you think Obama is tempted to just, for his final turkey day this November, to just fly out some sort of turkey-killing drone as some sort of political statement? How do you not, when you have nothing to lose in your last 4 years of the presidency, how do you not just do whatevs and what is anyone going to do? How are they going to stop you?
There's so many ways. There's so many ways. I'm going to pardon this turkey. Don't you think we should let the next president pardon the turkey? Because I'm just saying you've only got 4 months left, and maybe we just let the next person. Nobody really. I feel like America is not getting to weigh in on this turkey pardon.
Right.
So,
Jeff Kowalski says, "Cruising USSR."
Is this a game where you race cars around the USSR?
I think it is. But okay. What are the things that would make that... Because I don't want it to just be like a a location swap. I don't want it to be like American Truck Simulator or whatever, where they just, it's the same thing in a new place. I want, what are the things about life in that particular era of Cold War Russia that, that would be factor into your drive-in?
I mean, the only thing I can think of, Nick.
Yes?
Is that in Soviet Russia, car drives you.
Okay. Well, it's pretty, it's a little cruel of you to just take this dude's idea and just throw it in the trash can in front of a microphone. You did do that. That's
no,
what you
I
just
didn't.
Did.
I
yeah.
didn't know I didn't do
now
that.
Now I can't like, now I can't like it anymore. And that was a choice you made.
What happened? What do you think happened?
I think it was when you said earlier, when you said, did you say car in Soviet Russia, car drives you?
Yeah, that's, yeah, see, I just heard it from a different voice and like, it hit me as like, I liked it. And it made
I did
me
hear you giggle.
Yeah. I just want to like break it. This idea is over with. Like, it's done. We can't do anything with this. I just want to like debrief and like figure out what happened so that it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. I think, you took, from my perspective, what happened was you, it kind of fell apart for me when you said, in Soviet Russia, car drives you. Like, you, I think that was the moment for me where I kind of.
Hey, here's a good suggestion.
What's your, what?
This one was sent in by David Ochart, and it's a text and image submission, double dipping.
Ooh.
Capcom versus TGIF Millennium Fight Ultimate Climax Online, and then what we're looking at here is a picture of Beautiful Joe, and also a picture of Steve Urkel.
Ooh, so that okay, that's the
Capcom, the Capcom roster. We're talking about Mega Man. We're talking about Beautiful Joe. We're talking about Morgana. We're talking about Ryu. We're talking about Ken and Bison and Chun-Li.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're also talking about Urkel, and we're talking about Skip. We're talking about the whole step-by-step family. We're talking about
how many
Carl Winslow, and he's got a gun.
He does have a gun, which he makes him. He's kind of the striker of the TGIF family. I mean,
well, if you're playing him in alpha mode, if you get him in beta mode, then he does air cancels.
Do you think, because like it's a good time to be someone who wants to sell add-on content to your game, and I think Urkel in particular, obviously going to be a fan favorite. Obviously, he's the Ryu of Family Matters. But I love the idea of being able to sell costumes of all the various incarnations of Urkel. Like, remember the really hot, confident Urkel that existed?
Stefan Urkel?
Yes. Stefan. As a skin. And not just a skin, but like a full voice swap. Like an entire same moveset, right? We don't want to break the balance, but like as, that's a little bit of premium content.
How deep into the roster do we go? Because like I'm just like looking at the list of shit right now and like, did you know TJF started in 1985?
Jesus, man.
The Fall Guy was on TJF. We got different strokes. How about this for a fucking like tank character, Mr. Belvedere? So many moves.
Okay. He's the teacher guy from the one from the show?
Oh my god.
From the one
no,
show?
Nick. God, no. God, Nick,
isn't
no. God, Nick!
The old guy from the show with the guy.
He taught lessons for sure, but that wasn't his profession.
Let me real quick. Hold on just a second. Mr. Who is this? Who's this old man?
Oh my god.
Griffin, the last episode of this show aired when I was 30 days old. We gotta meet me in the middle sometimes on this podcast, alright? Like, I was 30 days into this whole thing.
Okay, alright. I'm just going down, let's continue the roster then, and maybe we'll find our way into a territory where you, I mean, Full House. That's,
yeah, obviously.
That's six characters right there before we even get into fucking Kimmy Gibbler.
Do you think, in order to make this more relatable to me and maybe some of the other millennials who are listening,
yeah,
we take this dude's idea and we twist it and we pivot it and we make it about TGIF, the restaurant?
No, fuck you. Now you're the garbage dispenser. I'm talking about Larry and Balky, and you're over here wanting to talk about some Bloomin' Onion shit.
Mm-hmm. I am wanting to talk about that.
Well, there's a character on Family Matters called Lil Richie.
Was it just Lil Richie?
No, it's a boy. It's a small boy. Small child.
Apparently, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was roughly, was technically in the block. Oh, dinosaurs.
Fuck that, no.
Dinosaurs, that's my
dinosaurs,
favorite
there. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm the baby, gotta love me. And then, like, you got Ryu over there, like, trying to Hadouken Corey and Topanga.
I also like the idea that baby dinosaur just has, like, is kind of a smaller hitbox. Like Yoda in fucking and Soul Calibur 3 or whatever, where it's just, yeah, like, very, very, just a weaselly little spry character.
Spry character. How about this? Morgana from Darkstalkers versus Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Little fucking witch-on-witch satanic combat.
Not Satan, it's like the meat substitute. Fuck this.
There's a typo in here, also, on the Wikipedia article. It says, this is probably just a translation thing or something, but it says Family Man, and clearly what they meant was Family Guy, so let me just edit the Wikipedia page for Family Man. That's an embarrassment for them. Family Guy.
Check this shit out.
There we go.
All right. I'm going to take you to the winter and spring of the 1993-1994 TGIF season, and just, like, blast them, okay?
Okay, run me through them.
Family Matters, Booyah, mm-hmm. Boy Meets World, Slam Dunk, Step by Step, oh, hell yeah. Winter, 93, Hanging with Mr. Cooper, fucking fantastic. Spring, 94, Sister.
That's a good show.
Fucking loving it, okay? That was TGIF then. ABC is running some shit right now called ABC Comedy Friday.
Okay, that sounds like a much wordier, shittier version of TGIF. I don't know why you wouldn't just call it TGIF.
Don't even worry about it, dude, because we're talking about Last Man Standing with Tim Allen, a real gut buster. We're talking about The Neighbors. We're talking about Dr. Kin. We're talking about, and this one is like beyond the pale, Shark Tank.
Hell yeah. See, now you're speaking my language.
Speaking the fucking ABC comedy? Shark Tank.
No,
good
Shark
man,
Tank.
Get him. Fuck him up.
That is a fucking household tradition.
Hell yeah, dude. Fuck their business up. TGIF. That it used to fucking mean something.
There's comedy in Shark Tank, though. There's
what
the
a bad
tension.
Pitch.
There's a little bit of that, obviously. But then there's also just the whole relationship between Kevin, Mr. Wonderful, and Robert, you know? Robert is clearly kind of the good angelic guy. He's like the sweet guy. And
oh, Mark Cuban, you're such a greedy piece of shit. TGIF.
He's a curveball. You never know. That's the thing I love about Mark, is that you never know what he's going to invest in. You never know what he's going to like. And it almost looks like, from the expression on his face, that neither does he. He just kind of picks them at random.
But, like, no matter what he does, guaranteed, it's going to fit right in to ABC Comedy Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, God. Friday for a while, on Friday for a while, Wife Swap and Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution. Fucking loving it, dude. You guys are on some shit. TV's the best it's ever been. Loving it. Grey's Anatomy repeats and Primetime. What would you do with John Quiñones? Loving this TGIF. Loving my Friday. I am ABC, and this is my letter to you. You just open it up. Thanks, guys. Loving my Friday.
Making my Friday every week.
Definitely didn't want Family Matters, Boy Meets World, Hanging with Mr. Cooper, Sister.
Here's the thing. I'm worried you might be veering into some Back in My Day shit, though, a little bit, Griffin. Like, do you really think they should just be airing those shows now?
No, because this is different shit. This is like if Star Wars Episode 7 came out and it was like
Shark Tank.
It was Shark Tank. And then I was like, I don't know. I think I like the older Star Wars movies better. I did, because there's fucking, this one's Shark Tank. I loved these family situational comedies with the families. But you know what I like better? This sitcom, which is Shark Tank. Go fuck yourself.
It's a type of sitcom. Hey, Griffin, you seem like you're very upset, so I'm going to give you... I think we're going to move on to the next one. Here's one from Moopoke on Twitter, who gives us kind of a multiple choice submission. here we go. Capcom's Cap Cop, or Capcom's Cam Cop, or Capcom's Cop Cam. Take your pick.
Only one of those is a thing.
Which? A cop cam?
A cop cam, yeah.
Well, I think a cap cop could also... It's not hard to imagine that being a thing, right?
Is that? Just like a cop wearing a hat?
Or maybe a cop who polices the hats of those around him.
Dumb hat. Hey,
you're
dumb hat.
You're under arrest.
Take it off. You're under arrest. Take off your dumb hat. Man, I need to, like, take a lap around the house and, like, cool off, because I'm just so disappointed in ABC right now. Let me hit you with this one from Daniel Weimels. Probably Weimels, who says, action-adventure game where your credit score is your HP and damage decreases it in real time.
Does it actually decrease your credit score in real life?
And, like, why the fuck not? Because they're just playing Calvin Ball with that shit. When I bought my house last year, I learned that my credit score is okay. Not very good if you're trying to secure a low interest rate on your mortgage. And the reason why, I was like, why is it? And they're like, oh, it's because you pay off your credit card every month. Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, so, you're, like, punished for that. You're supposed to...
I'm being punished because I am fiscally responsible with my credit card. That makes a whole lot of sense. What? Let's plug this shit into a Zelda then. And every time Ganondorf hits me, it's like, looks like you're 540 now. Jesus.
Right.
That's too bad. Well, I mean, we're just making this shit up as we go. It'd be like, I'm heated this episode, Nick. Fucking let me loose. Point me at something and let me fucking go.
You're saying that that's the credit equivalent of, like, if you beat Zelda without dying a single time and you got the bad ending as a punishment for that.
Essentially, yes.
Hmm.
How about this one from Tyler Horn, who says, Luigi Maker. He doesn't get enough attention.
I agree.
It's not the year of Luigi anymore, and so, like, I think things have returned to a state of equipoise. But I agree with you, and I'm curious what a Luigi Maker would be.
How much leeway can they really give you in making a Luigi? Could you make a Luigi that just is Mario? Could you make a Luigi with a red hat who's, like, kind of a thicker,
shorter boy?
Yeah.
What if Luigi Maker was just Super Mario Maker, except you didn't have to beat your levels before you uploaded them?
So you
hop in to the online creation one, and it's just like you start out, and it's just you're surrounded by bricks. There's just fucking no
just
way.
Just a fat wall of bricks. I mean, if you enjoy that, there's a Cool Game Teams committer, Brian Lee, LR Comic on Twitter, has made a few levels. There's one called, like, Golden Coins Challenge, where you spawn into it, and literally it's just a wall of bricks with, like, a few holes in it, and it's beatable. But it's, like, barely beatable, and it requires you to literally, like, clamp your hand around the controller in a really horrific way, and then just kind of jump at the right time. I can't even believe the game lets you do that. I think that they actually wound up deleting some of his levels because they used weird glitches. I love that idea, though, of just, like, what if Mario Maker was worse? What if there was no guarantee as you entered a level that you would ever succeeded? So are we also taking out the ability to skip levels, or?
Oh yeah, that's gone.
Right.
There's a great glitch that somebody had discovered where if you put a pipe in a water level so that it pops you off, like, right at the very top row of placeable objects in a level, you get stuck there and you can't pause the game or do anything.
Whoa,
and you're just stuck
what?
There. So it would force people to, like, end their extreme runs.
Jeez, that is a very good glitch. There's also, I remember when checkpoints first got added, people were finding ways to make levels that were, like, beatable unless you got the checkpoint. Like, the checkpoint would drop you into this lower area that there was no way to get out of, and in order to play the level again, you would actually have to, like, stop and manually restart the level.
Nasty shit. We don't have our nugget yet, and I'm getting worried because we're deep in the paint right now. Here's what I'm going to pitch.
Yeah.
Let's just put a little cherry on top of it, because I think it had legs before I got so angry, of Capcom versus TGIF, Millennium Fight Ultimate
right.
Climax.
Let's not focus on what ABC has become, but let's focus on what they
because,
were.
Yeah, exactly. This has become... I just learned that apparently we need to found a historical preservation society for the classic TGIF. The core roster. You do the Capcom side, because I feel like I know more about classic TGIF. So what Capcom characters would you like to see?
Let's see here. I think Virgil from Devil May Cry is not a bad one.
And I'll do just Steffi Tanner.
Okay. How about the serve bots? I think they should be broken out into their own character.
Not having to fight as part of Tron Bond's army, but, like, their own thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
And I do like that we're playing a lot with scale in this game in a way that.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Can we do, like, sister, but both, like, Tia and Tamara as, like, a single sort of entity, kind of like Ice Climbers in Smash?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That seems like a good idea. Is it going to use the exact ice fighter ice climber mechanic of one is like kind of a little bit behind? And would that be Tia? Which one? Who is Lala and Papa?
I think Tia. Nana? If Tia gets knocked out, it's a game over. If Tamara gets knocked out, then Tia can keep fighting, and maybe she'll be weakened or enraged.
Okay. What if we? How about we put like Ryu in, but the version of Ryu from Super Puzzle Fighter 2, where he's like a squat. Like the chibi fighter version of him.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really into that. Okay. And then he can fight against the grandma dinosaur.
But, let me get a little more specific.
Please.
It's not the chibi fighter sprite of Ryu. It's the version from, like, the Xbox 360 version of Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Alpha Turbo, where the sprites are, like, stretched and really blurry looking and shitty for some reason.
Yeah.
That's what I like. See, I want this to be the first Capcom fighting game that gets Smash Brothers level of weird. Like, I want to find the Wii Fit trainer of Capcom for this game. I feel like I'm hitting my stride a little bit. What do you got?
Mr. Feeny.
Okay. That's who I was thinking of before, wasn't it? That's what got me confused.
You got Mr. Feeny and Mr. Belvedere confused.
They both have the same first name. Mr.
I don't think Mr. Feeny has a first name. Let's give him one. Willem.
How about James Gandalf? That way his name is James Gandolfini.
That's a great joke.
Thanks, buddy. Capcom published Who Wants to Be a Millionaire for iOS. So how about we just get a hint of our boy?
Which Mr. boy? Because there have been so many hosts.
No, I want the fucking 90s one. I want the... Fuck, it was on the tip.
You can't remember Regis Philbin's name!
Regis Philbin.
You can't remember Regis Philbin's name!
You know what was fucking me up is I was trying to remember his... talk like his name by proxy of the talk show he hosted, and it was fucking me up.
Maybe we just have a fucking new game and it's called Nick Robinson Tries to Remember the Names of People Who Were Alive When Nick Robinson Was Ages, like, when were you born? 89?
90.
The first 10 years of Nick Robinson's life, he didn't memorize any names.
Mm-mm.
So it's just like,
I can tell you a few names I did memorize from the first 10 years of my life. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Miles Tails Prower was a big one.
Okay.
Bubsy the Bobcat.
Okay.
Was another big one that I remember from
Bubsy the Bobcat was voiced by Regis Philbin.
That's not true.
I'm Bubsy. But I'm going to collect all these exclamation points. I think that's what he collected in those games.
What could possibly go wrong, he liked to say.
I'd love to find some Bobcat paws and get some extra lives. This is a terrible Regis impression.
It's not... I think the thing is, like, I don't...
Don't pretend like you know what his fucking voice sounds like. You don't know his name. You don't know what his face looks like. You don't know anything about Regis.
I can remember him saying Final Answer. Do you remember the...
This has been the most disappointing episode of this podcast.
I'm
not
sorry.
For the listeners, but maybe that too. But for me, as a, like... I'm disappointed in you. I'm disappointed in ABC. I'm disappointed in Regis. Like, where the fuck is that fool?
Where did he go? I couldn't tell you. I'm worried you're not putting as much care into finding deep cut characters from the TGIF family as I am.
Well, I know you just won't fucking know who they are. Like, I could fuck with Different Strokes, but like, you can't fuck with Different Strokes.
I guess I can't.
I know you cannot fuck with Different Strokes. I could fuck with some Webster. I know you won't fuck with Webster.
The book? The like dictionary book? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, dude. It was the TGIF dictionary show.
So season one was just the letters A through C, and they just kind of ran through them?
Dude, no. Season one would be like AA through like AD.
How much
they'd
time
be like,
do you...
They'd be like, advertisement. And that's our season finale. Thank you all for joining us. That's going to do it. I don't know that we have a very congealed nug.
What if the guy from... Is there a guy from Lost Planet? Was there a character in that game?
Goo Man. He just loved collecting that orange goo.
Gotta slurp up all that orange.
He loved
melty...
slurming down that orange.
In the snow.
In the snow. Thank you for listening. I don't know that Capcom versus TGIF Ultimax Online is going to do it for any of us, but I said that about Bing Bong King Kong, and
we look
at
us
how
now.
That turned out.
So maybe we put this out on early access, and we kind of let the players help us
Yeah,
decide.
We'll fucking patch some more content into this episode. But... we haven't had a guest for forever, but Nick literally just got back in town yesterday. We're recording this Friday morning, and Nick's about to send me his audio, and then I have to edit it as fast as I can.
Yep. Good
so
luck.
We've been in a little bit of a rush, but we're gonna make our way back to that good content real soon.
Yeah, we're gonna see each other in just a couple of days, Griffin. We can record
Oh, yeah.
a nice
are we gonna
app.
Record face to face or no?
I'd like to.
We'll see. Thank you all for listening, though. Thank you for submitting. Thank you for tweeting your suggestions at the @CoolGamesInc Twitter account. Thanks for telling your friends about the show. Thanks for reviewing on iTunes and all that shit.
I'm Nick Robinson.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
No problem. Fun.